西。衣服穿了。He bought him
a streamlined dress that he can't take away our sins.
You is for us who came to sin.
Except for our salvation.
Thank you.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to his town to register.
So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Bethlehem in the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child.
While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Thank you. were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flock by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them,
and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified.
Do not be afraid. I bring you good news to all people. In the town of David, a Savior would be born. He would be Christ the Lord.
Thank you.
born in Bethlehem in Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem and asked King Herod, "Where is the one who has born the King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him."
God with us. Please join us in singing Joy to the World.
Praise the Lord, for God became man. As the writer to the Hebrews says, when he came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but a body you have prepared for me, and burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure."
Then I said, "Behold, I have come in the volume of the book that is written of me, to do your will, O God. Previously sent, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings, and offering for sin, you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law." Then he said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God." He takes away the first, that he may establish the second.
Jesus became man and learned obedience because God loves us. As John writes, "And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be with the propitiation for our sins." The candle we light this morning is to remind us of God's great love for us.
Let us pray. Our gracious God and Father, we do praise you and thank you for these young people. We thank you for the message that they told us this morning, that you did send your Son, born of a babe in Bethlehem as the Son of David. We thank you and praise you for the songs, for the scripture. We thank you for the practice and the effort that they put in. And we ask, Lord, that the message might be internalized in their own lives and that they would grow in the grace and knowledge of your Son and that they would be your faithful servants throughout their lives. We ask that we ourselves would reflect on this good news and that we would truly meditate upon that great love that you have for us and that you sent your Son to be our propitiation. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Before we go through our meditation, just a quick reminder. Christmas Day, you're welcome back at 10 a.m. and we're going to enthusiastically praise God for the birth of His Son. This morning is the fourth Sunday in Advent, and the meditation is on love. Now, love is one of those words that is a four-letter word. And many of you can tell stories about how you thought somebody was loved, or that you loved somebody and there was brokenness. You can tell stories about how you had these great expectations. And maybe when you got married, there were stars in your eyes, and you had these great expectations, and then the vow in sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer, till death do us part, kind of came up and you had a trouble with it. And maybe that marriage is broken. Well, I'm here to remind you of the great love that God has for you. The great love that God has, we need to comprehend it. We talk about it. Do we meditate upon it? Do we consider what it is that we say when God loves you? God loves you is only written twice in the scriptures. It's only written twice in one chapter, 1 John chapter 4. But everybody I know knows that God loves me. But do they know what it means? What does it mean when we say God loves me? Does it mean that my life is nice and smooth? No. So often when people are in trauma, they wonder, where is God in all this? He is present. He is with you through it because He loves you. Listen to Paul in Romans 5. He said, God demonstrated His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If you want to understand God's love, you have to look at the cross. You cannot understand God's love unless you look, focus on the cross. God's love is spoken in the scriptures only within the framework of the cross. Only. It's not, God's love is not spoken to us apart from the cross. Listen to what Paul said. God demonstrated His love. Now, we're all familiar with demonstrations. I can remember my father demonstrating how to drive a car. I don't know, sometimes you go and buy an appliance and the salesman demonstrates how the appliance works. Demonstrations are all part of our life. And God demonstrated His love. And He demonstrated by the cross. You see, the cross is where God poured out His love for us and poured out His wrath upon His Son. This is what Paul says. While we were still sinners. What does it mean to be a sinner? It means that you were hostile to God. It means that you were God's enemy. That you had no time for God. That you were self-absorbed. Think. Think of the person in your life that is the most aggravating. Think about the person in your life that if you could, you'd get even. Now, would you die for that person? Would you exchange your place in eternity for that person's sake? That's what Christ did. Now we have two examples in the New Testament. We have Paul and Moses. In Moses, in Exodus, the people had worshipped the idol and God was angry and he was going to destroy the nation and create a new nation after and have Moses be the founder. And Moses said, remove my name from the Lamb's Book of Life if you do that. Paul in Romans chapter 9 says, I would be accursed for my kinsmen in the flesh. I would go to hell that my kinsmen in the flesh could have life. That's what Paul was saying. In Philemon, Paul writes to Philemon on behalf of Onesimus, and he says, if Onesimus, your runaway slave, has anything that he owes you, put it to my account. This is love. This is what God did for us in Christ. He sent his Son. Now, we have a few definitions of love in the scriptures. And the one that we shared with you from 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, in this is love. You want to know what love is? Look at this. Not that we love God, no, but that he loved us. And because he loved us, he sent his Son to be the propitiation for my sin. What's that big word, propitiation, mean? It means that an angry God needs to be satisfied. That's what it means. And God, in his wrath, is propitiated through the death of his Son. I tried to convey this to my son when he was very young. I had a rule and he broke it. And he knew that he was to get the paddle. And so he went over and got the paddle, handed it to me. And I said to him, Nathaniel, today you take the paddle and you spank Dad. And he looked at me and I said, the law says that there must be punishment. It does not say who is to be punished. It says that there must be punishment. And I said, now, today, you broke the law, but Dad's going to take the punishment. The young boy didn't quite know what to do. But this is what God did. God has a law. And we are responsible for that law. But we are not capable of keeping that law. So God prepared a body for Jesus Christ. And when he prepared a body for Jesus Christ came as a babe and he learned obedience. That's what he did. He learned obedience. And he says in the Sermon on the Mount, I did not come to destroy the law, I came to fulfill the law. Why? Because he loved us. He loved us, and therefore he lived 33 years learning obedience, obeying his Father, expressing the character of God, and then bearing the sin of mankind upon the cross. That's love. That's love. When I counsel young people to get married, I ask the husband-to-be, do you know your responsibility? 9 times out of 10, the answer is no. And I say, you are to model Jesus Christ. You are to love your wife as Christ loved the church. And then I give them the gospel. And when I'm all done, I say to the husband-to-be, are you prepared to die for this woman? I've never had a young man say no. I've had a lot of young men sit there mute. But the wife loves it. She sits there, wow, this guy's supposed to love me. Yeah. Now translate that to God the Father sending his Son because he loves you. He loves you. And so he sent his Son to be the propitiation, to absorb the wrath of God for you. And in fulfilling that outpouring of wrath, he fulfills the law. One sacrifice covers all sin. And when Jesus stood before Pilate, Pilate says to him, are you a king? And Jesus says, you say rightly that I am a king. At birth, this babe was born in Bethlehem. And about 2 years later, Magi from the east come and they look for the king of the Jews. And when he's crucified, he has a sign above on the cross that says, the king of the Jews. And this kingship that runs from Bethlehem to the cross is always in front of us as we read the Gospels. What kind of king is this? Well, Jesus tells Pilate. He says, for this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness in the truth. Jesus was born for a reason. He was born a king. And you say, what kind of king is this? It's a king that you need to appreciate. It's like no other governor king that you have ever imagined. No human king has ever been as this king. This king came to serve you. This king came to do for you what you cannot do for yourself. This king loves you. This king lived a life of obedience to his Father, and then he was nailed to the cross because he loved you. I'm very careful when I tell people I love them. Very careful. Because I'm fully aware of what that word carries. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love endures all things. Love does not bear grudges. Oh, and here's the worst. Love never fails. this babe that was born in Bethlehem as a fulfillment of the promise that from this line of David would come a king. And this king would be a king of a kingdom that lasts forever. And this king came to seek and to save those who are lost. When you think of the message that God gave through the angel to the shepherds, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Are you in that field with the shepherds? Are you destitute like those shepherds were? Do you comprehend this message that this babe was born that you might live? You see, Jesus was very clear when he talked to his disciples about the kingdom of God. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, you have to be the servant of all. Why? Because your king is the servant of all. Your king came to serve all mankind. From every tribe, every tongue, every family, he came to serve. And he came to seek and to save those who are lost. Because he loves you. He loves you. That word has been cheapened in our culture. In many people's lives, it's meaningless. Absolutely meaningless. Because of their, quote, experience, unquote. Let's go back to how we know God loves us. It's not experience, is it? It's not experience. It's a historical event 2,000 years ago that we can objectively look at and say, God loves me. It has nothing to do with my experience. Nothing. God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's outside of my experience. It's outside of everything I can touch, handle, or feel. But it's an objective reality. And I can look at that cross, and I look at it, and I can say, aha, God loves me. Isn't that amazing? That the creator of the universe, who said, let there be light, and there was light, let there be the seas and all the animals and the mountains, and let us create man in our image and likeness. This one who said, let there be, loves you. And it has nothing to do with how you feel, how your life works out, how your relationships are. It is an objective event that you can look at by faith and know he loves me. And because he loves me, I can live. I can live. Because he lives. That's the good news. That's the great news. We have a Savior who was born King of the Jews, who fulfilled the law in all its parts, who took the penalty of the law, and he today is King. And you have the privilege of serving him. You have the privilege of being a member of his kingdom, which has no end. So when you think about the love of God, don't think of it apart from the cross. No. The love of God is always within the framework of the cross, always. Christ Jesus was born so that he might live in obedience of the law and take the penalty of the law and then rise from the dead that we might live. Isn't that good news? Let's pray. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you and praise you for that great love that you did have for us and that you continue to have for us. We thank you that Jesus Christ died that we might live. We know, Father, that he came into the world and that you prepared a body for him, that he might be the sin bearer. We know that he, the man, Christ Jesus, bore our sin upon that cross. And we thank you and praise you that you have given us this message. And we ask that we would respond in faith and that we would rejoice and be glad that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to sing, I Stand Amazed. Testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.